Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, a lot to get into. I just saw this, too, when we signed off a moment ago. Shedeur Sanders will be the starting quarterback. Gabriel's cleared to play, but Shedeur Sanders will be QB number one. Hey, good timing. We got the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. I'm sure we're going to talk about that, talk about statues, talk about good and bad. We got an undefeated basketball team and a football team maybe just ready to turn the page and get this season over with. Mark, my friend, always great to catch up with you, man.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Yeah, a little bit going on in Boulder this last weekend.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on, if you want to go with the statue side of it too, because there are some people that are upset, obviously, with Bill McCartney's statue where it is, maybe the fact that there wasn't a giant promotion around it. And then there's other sides of the aisle that didn't want a statue put up at all. So very a really tough spot, you know, for the decision makers over in Colorado, Mark, to say the least, right?
We have a tendency in life to put a lot of weight into things that have no bearing upon us, don't we?
We do. I would agree with that, Mark.
Yep, yep. What Bill McCartney did for that program is unprecedented. It was phenomenal. It was amazing what he did. He had an impact upon countless number of lives. All you got to do is just talk to all the young men that he brought into the University of Colorado that came from, you know, very difficult circumstances. He turned their lives around, led them to turning their lives around, and it's amazing. When you look at, you know, you look at the group that he brought in, you know, look at that national championship team and that kind of that era, right? You had guys who came in from every single different variation of life and came together and loved him, and to this day, 40 years later, will continue to rave about the impact of Mac, even though they didn't agree with everything that Mac said. They loved the man that he was and what he did. He's the winningest coach in Colorado history, and so putting a statue up of Bill McCartney was a no-brainer to me.
Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off, Mark.
No, that's right.
You know, what did you make of the placement of the statue? And you would know this more than I did, but, you know, I didn't see a ton of, you know, this was going to happen. I didn't really know about it until after the fact. What did you make about of those two things, just kind of where the statue was placed and maybe not as much promotion around it?
Well, I think because of the different factions that expressed opinion on it, there were, you know, negotiations that went on, and so I think there were some gives and some takes that took place in that whole thing. You know, he stands there over the practice field. I was standing there the other night as I emceed that dedication event, and I was looking at it. First of all, it's a great likeness of Mac. I talked with the artist, by the way. And he stands there, arms crossed like Bill would on the sideline or over the practice field. But he stands there in that position overlooking the main practice field. Excuse me. I was just out. I was just out moving hay, and I think I sucked in some hay dust.
It happens, Mark.
Not to me that much,
but it does happen.
Right, and you know, he's overlooking a practice field and stands there staring at the building, the east side of the building in which you know, he had so much impact on being Folsom Field. And so, you know, I believe me, and I've heard from every side of this thing. I've gotten messages, you know, from this side and that side, and. And it's an amazing thing. Knowing what Bill McCartney was concerned about, which was the pursuing of the kingdom, you know, from a religious standpoint, and all that we argue about right now, he probably would have rolled his eyes a little bit. You know, it's amazing the polarizing effect. Putting a statue of somebody that is long past now, and by, you know, 10, 11 months, I guess, and has not had any influence, you know, officially on that campus since 1994, and it's really something to behold.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see some of the responses, and as you know, online everyone is really professional with how they handle this.
Without question.
Yeah, just it's always a tough thing when you're talking about a statue, because no matter who it is. I mean, I was watching a video of Rob Gronkowski talking about Tom Brady's statue. There's probably even a very small percentage, but there probably are Patriots fans that didn't want a Tom Brady statue put up, if you can believe that.
Isn't it stunning? I mean, what we concern ourselves with. And you know, I always think to myself, what is going to affect you directly, right? If there is a Tom Brady or a Bill McCartney or whoever statue standing at some point on an area in which you walk by on occasion, that somehow that's going to raise your ire to a point of, you know, exacerbation, or you feel the need. And I always think to myself, well, what? There's plenty of stuff I don't agree with in life. And I kind of look and go, yeah, well, I don't agree with that, but all right, fine. And that's not the way a lot of people, in this day and age, you know what we've done with social media? We've given everyone, they think they have a voice, and they think that their voice is important, and they think that enormous amounts of people want to hear from them. Well, okay, is everyone's voice important? Yeah, it is to them, and maybe to the loved ones. Does it hold great weight? No. Does it hold always the correct response? Absolutely not. But we live in a world now where we think that everything that we say is virtuous. And I'm better than everybody else in terms of my opinion. And I chuckle at that all the time, and the way people want to scream and holler about things. And you know, I in my role, you understand this. I get a lot of feedback from, you know, the world of Buffalo's athletics, and everyone has an opinion, and they always want to tell me what they think. And there are a number of times, probably the vast majority of times, very rarely does the person actually have a single clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, we hear Gary say, we give Andy Lindahl, our sideline reporter, a lot of hard time all the time from Gary. Gary always says to him, not Lindahl, he always says, frequently wrong, but always certain. Right, and I think that's an interesting thing, because generally speaking, those that want to scream and holler and make the most noise are frequently wrong, but always certain in their ineptness, and that's an interesting quality that some people have in life.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. Yes, certainly an interesting story on that side of it. And also, you know, this Buff season, Mark, I mean, you're probably ready at some point here soon to just go full on basketball mode, because Tad Boyle's crew is undefeated. And I think the Buffs are ready to turn the page on the football side. Get this last weekend over with.
Well, it's hard on everybody. I mean, it really is. You know, when you've got a football team, and now we're sitting here with a 4-game losing streak, it gets hard on everybody. It's hard on the coach. It's hard on the players. It's hard on the training staff. It's hard on the broadcasters. It's hard on the guys that sell popcorn, you know, at the stadium. It's hard on everybody. There's weight to it, and it begins to weigh on everybody. Now, there's not much more I love more, you know, from a broadcasting standpoint than a Saturday afternoon sitting in the broadcast booth at Folsom Field. It is awesome. Gary, I love Gary Barnett to death. My crew is great. We've been together for a long time. I love their company. I love talking football with Gary. I love giving Coach a hard time throughout the broadcast, you know, and breaking his chops, and he's busting mine. And it's a wonderful 7 hours of broadcasting that we do. We really enjoy it. And I hope that comes across in the air. And, you know, but with that being said, when the team's losing like we're losing right now, that becomes very difficult on everybody. So you do think to yourself, man, I like to talk about some wins, you know. And
yeah.
So this weekend I've got a horrible travel situation. I'm still dealing with today, trying to get from Palm Desert, California to Manhattan, Kansas. And so we're working on that. Gary's not going to be there. We're going to have Soup's going to be sitting in for Gary, and Bobby's going to be there. That'd be the Hall of Famer, Jeff Campbell. I'm supposed to refer to Manhattan last weekend now that he's in the Hall of Fame. But yeah, I mean, when it's over, I'm going to be bummed out, and there's also going to be a segment of me that goes, it's been a tough last month and a half or so, and maybe it's best that we move on.
Yeah, one game remaining, and, you know, I'll just be curious to kind of see what changes there are around the program. As Coach Prime said, there will be changes coming. That was just a rough outing against Arizona State. Another guy that's receiving, you know, whatever, Ronald Coleman with the fumble, playing wide receiver, being put in that situation. So many people, Mark, take things out of context, right?
Yeah.
When Coach Prime said, hey, it's not on him, it's on me for putting him in, I didn't take it as it's my fault for believing in him as a player. I 100% take it as it was my fault for putting a guy in that was his first action. I'm putting him in as a running back on that side of it. So many people want to just blow that up.
Well, there's a number of ways to look at that. Exactly right. And you know, Prime took responsibility for that after the ball game. Putting a guy in to touch the football for the first time ever under those circumstances is an odd decision, right? And so I think that's what Prime was talking about. Ronald Coleman was just out there doing what he was trying to do because he was a walk-on guy, and he is a pretty darn good athlete. I've watched him a number of times. It did surprise the daylights out of me, to be honest with you. And because of that, when you're doing play-by-play, you know in your head there's a Rolodex of players that are going to see the field. And so when the handoff, and, you know, we're such a long ways away, and so you look for certain characteristics or you look for things that indicate who the players are, there's a handoff, and I see a double-digit number ending in 5. Well, who is that? That's going to be Quentin Gibson, right?
Yeah.
Number 15. And so I see the quick handoff. It happened very quickly, and I said, Quentin Gibson, oh, no, the ball came out. Now I'm focused on that. We get through the end of the play, and Gary says, Mark, I don't think that was Quentin Gibson. You know, they're about the same size. Neither guy's very big. And then I see the pile unfolding at number 45, and I'm thinking, I have no idea who that is. I have no clue who that player is, and I've got to grab a roster real quick. Because 45 has never taken a snap all season long. I find out he did have a couple, you know, buried in lopsided affairs and, you know, as a distant wide receiver someplace. And so it was an odd situation to put him into that circumstance. And so anybody yelling at Ronald Coleman or talking disparaging about Ronald Coleman, don't do that. The young man went out there. He's 18 years old. He did what he was going to do. He bounced it off the left side and got very excited. He was probably nervous as all get out, knowing he was going to touch the football in a key moment in the game. And he ended up fumbling it, right? After the game, by the way, when we're up in the booth doing the post game, guess who was on the field? Number 45, Ronald Coleman, holding the football, clutching it, running up and down the field. Okay, I guarantee you that kid feels awful. And I feel bad for him. So don't yell at Ronald Coleman, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, it's just it's when you get to these points in the season, I guess. I mean, we got to pick out 450 things to just go off on.
Yes.
People fumble the ball. I mean, Derrick Henry, one of the greatest running backs in the history of the NFL, had several fumbles that cost the Ravens wins this year.
Yep.
He seems to still be pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
It was a tough situation to put him in.
Right. Yeah.
If this would have been a 21-point ball game and he fumbled because it was the first time he ever touched the ball, that's we all go, well, I understand that. And you kind of glaze over it. But because of the circumstances, driving in for a game-leading touchdown, you're hopeful. And you fumble is a bad situation.
Mark, appreciate you going there with me, man. Certainly, I didn't think the statue topic would be sensitive, but, you know, going back through the history and stuff, I guess, you know, whatever. But I appreciate you jumping there with me, my friend.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, did Mac have some very strong opinions that were unattached to football? Yes. Now, do they belong to the same man? Yes. The football is up there commemorating what the impact was that he had on the game of football. Last I checked, he's allowed to have opinions beyond that. Did he express them? Yes, but that, guess what? You can't separate your personal opinions from who you are. Do some people not like them? Apparently they do. But the statue is up there because he won 93 games and a national championship and a handful of Big Eight titles. And that's what it commemorates. If you're making more of it than what it says, then you are the one making more of it than what it says. And I think that's the thing, that we've gotten to this weird area in the world that, well, if I disagree with somebody, I don't want to hear anything. I want to erase their existence from the history of an institution or this world or whatever it might be. And I don't think that is a fair and well thought out an objective way of looking at things. I think that's distinctly unfair.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well said by you, Mark. Always appreciate it, my friend. And we'll look to catch up with you next week. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your wonderful family, my friend.
Well, I'll be enjoying Thanksgiving in Palm Desert, California. And Scott Wilkie said after the game on Thanksgiving Day, we're going to celebrate with Jimmy John's subs, and I said, well, at least it'll be a turkey sub.
You got to go turkey on that, yes,
exactly,
100%.
Right. So, hey, same to you and your listeners as well. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, my man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Let's take a quick break here, Michael. We'll wrap up hour number two. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Hear college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.